This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on your official home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Back to Sportsnet Today. Logan Gordon along with you. Cam and Taylor in the other room. Hello, friends.
Hello.
Hi.
Don't say it like that.
Hello.
That's much better. The outstanding and sometimes strange production duo of Cam and Taylor in the other room. Making sure that this program hits your airwaves, gets to your favorite podcatcher, other assorted tasks. They're great.
You're great,
sometimes,
buddy.
Sometimes they're great.
Thanks.
Quick reminder, you can always take part in the program. If you're listening live, 960-960. The fan feedback line always open to you here on Sportsnet Today. Questions, comments, queries, anything on your mind. You can even send in texts like this. This one says, wow, nice of Taylor to say hi.
I was just pointing out that one.
Which might have been Cam, but that's okay. See what happens, Taylor? You don't say hi one day and this is what happens.
I said hi to you when I got in, okay?
No, you did, but there was that one time you didn't, and now you're forever associated with the text line as that person who comes into work and doesn't say hi to anybody.
I'm a very nice person. I feel like everybody should know that. I'm a very cheery person. I make this place a home.
I can't argue with that. That's fair. You do try your best. Despite the rest of us trying to ruin it and break things, you do hold this place together.
Like my Dan Vladar picture?
Yeah, rest in peace to the Dan Vladar picture. The Dan Vladar fan club will have to. But by the way, just the morning show just breaking things. We try to liven up the studio a bit with different things. You guys, we were proud stands of Dan Vladar here.
And what happens?
We have a dollar store frame picture of Dan Vladar up here in the studio. You know, we're trying to make this house a home, right?
This
Taylor?
Is why we can't have nice things. There's, the morning show,
there's fake plastic flowers and all this sort of thing. Come in here and our pictures are just destroyed. There's glass shards everywhere. Alex Brody from Brody on the Beat came in this afternoon because apparently he just likes doing work all the time. Came in, did some work, and left. Didn't say anything about it. Just went on with his day.
I was also fully on a call with Alex Brody this morning, and he did not say a word.
Not a single mention of it. Oh, hey, we broke all of your stuff. But don't worry about it. Incredibly rude.
Be expecting a dollar store gift card in the mail anytime here.
I would hope so. I would hope Brody would use some of that Brody on the Beat money to go and get us some new frames.
Number one show on AM radio.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, it is.
Is it, though?
Be supportive of your team, Logan.
I would be supportive if you didn't break our crap and then just leave it there for us to clean up. What has Alex contributed to the fashion of the room? Nothing.
True point.
Grow up. Anyways, Alex is probably listening, probably really upset. Back to the main topic of the day, Flames game day. Flames and the Detroit Red Wings. You will remember last week in Detroit, finding out that Rasmus Anderson got hit by a car while he was on a scooter. That always makes Taylor giggle for some reason. But he's doing okay. Tests, everything. He was okay, but he didn't play last week in the game in Detroit. He is on track to return tonight. He was part of morning skate. Dennis Gilbert and Connor Mackey skated with a group that are generally the extras. So we're assuming that Calgary's number one defenseman will be back in the lineup. And I said that earlier. I said that one comment about number one defenseman. And someone had texted in, isn't Chris Tanev their number one defenseman? And I guess it depends on the way that you want to frame it. I think Rasmus does a little bit of everything. Like, you know, Chris doesn't play power play. I think defensively, Tanev is probably your best guy, but I think your number one overall defenseman is probably Rasmus Anderson. But either way, it's still a massive add for the Calgary Flames to have him potentially back in the lineup tonight. Dan Vladar, who got the start and the loss against Detroit last week, will be your starter for tonight's game. Then we go into Saturday against the New York Rangers, Monday against the visiting Philadelphia Flyers before the Flames head back out on the road. Let's get you set with some Flames game day audio. We'll start with the head coach, Daryl Sutter. He addressed the status of Rasmus Anderson, some keys to tonight's game, and other things in his morning media availability from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome earlier today.
It's going to be a little odd to have a home game here.
Pardon?
A little odd to have a home
extremely
game.
Today. Seems that does seem fine. It'd be good to play at home again, though.
How's Rasmus looking out there?
Well, you know what? It's just every day. It's kind of medically cleared and all that. It's just kind of his call now.
Does that mean tonight might be an option for him or no?
Yeah, might be an option, but I kind of said I didn't talk to him. I just went off yesterday's report and then see what he says after.
How have you felt the defense has held up the last couple of games without him here on the end of the road trip?
I think probably stretched Noah out a little bit and McKenzie out a little bit. I think Zeke can tighten his game up a lot. But other than that, I think Stoney's done a pretty good job, and you know, Gibby in limited minutes has held his own.
What have you seen from Dubé of late? He's really racked up the points.
Yeah, I don't think it's just of late. I think he's had a really good year. I think he's had the odd little, you know, normal little dip, 5-5 or things like that. But overall, I think his progression has been really good. I think his attention to detail and his you know, he's such a good practice player. He works at his game, watches his game a lot.
What's this Tyler Toffoli had on Dylan and being on that line with him?
Yeah, I think the stability of it, I think Ty has such a really good approach to the game all the time. He can manage his way through games and he manages the puck so well, recognizes the situation. It's just, you know, Ty is a time score guy too, so I think that helps Dylan.
Gerald, I know you prefer kind of to go by weeks. With 28 to go, will you guys look at 7-game series at all, or is that not a way you'll split it up?
I really haven't done that since the cutoffs. Now that we're into the post long break, right? It's kind of just opponent and schedule, things like that. You know, this is still where. So we get the 3 and then we go for 3 again, so you're kind of just trying to stay in the moment with it more than anything.
When you looked at your lines before the season, did you envision that Dubé could be on your top line?
Well, it's for sure what we talked about was these young guys, Mangiapane, Dubé. These guys had to take a step in terms of responsibility and not managing so much who they were against. Like, that's been an ongoing thing with them young guys, keeping them off the ice against certain guys the last couple of years, and at some point they got to take that step. It's not just them, it was a number of guys. So.
Like Coleman's stats on the road trip, like everything from points to shots to hits, I think we're all pretty high across the board. What have you seen out of him of late?
I think it's more the line, Wes, right? I think Bax is a real driver on the line, and he's, you know, quietly Michael's had a really good season, I think. So we've had to move the wingers around lots to try and get production out of guys, and it's still very much ongoing with you bring up Blake, Blake, and he's a, when he's on, he's around the net and he's a high shot guy, right? That's, you can just put, just look at it and say he had a good game or he didn't, right? So that's kind of the way the line works.
You have two lines that you haven't really changed at all for quite a while, and then that pair of Kadri and Huberto have been together for a while. Like, do you feel good about where your combos are set up front right now?
Yeah, obviously we'd like some more production lately out of the Naz line. So that's pretty clear.
Daryl Sutter speaking to the media on a Flames game day. Flames and Detroit go tonight, 7 o'clock. Some interesting stuff from Daryl there. Obviously, the big news was the news around Rasmus Anderson medically cleared. He's going to talk to Rasmus, and all signs point to him being back in the lineup tonight for the Calgary Flames, so that's great news. Some talk on the forward lines for the team, and obviously the last, quip there from Daryl. Need more production from the Kadri line. That one stays together, all your lines and D pairings as you would expect them. Heading into tonight's game, not expecting anything different than what we've seen other than Rasmus coming in for Dennis Gilbert and reuniting on that pairing with Noah Hanifin, and that's who we'll hear from next. Noah spoke to the media earlier today, and I pulled some of these from Sportsnet stats a little bit earlier today, just how you kind of get a sense of just how important these two guys are as a pairing for the Calgary Flames, that they've developed into this really strong number one pairing, Hanifin and Anderson. They have spent the sixth most minutes together time on ice this season, 751 minutes, 27 seconds together at 5-on-5. A lot of familiarity between those two. That's sixth most amongst NHL defensive duos. They've also, the team has outscored opponents 39-29 at 5-on-5 with Hanifin and Anderson on the ice. The 39 team goals, fourth most in the NHL when a defensive duo is on the ice. The other three pairings ahead of them, Erik Karlsson and Jason Megna in San Jose, and Carlson's having an absolutely torrid offensive year. Dougie Hamilton, Jonas Siegenthaler in New Jersey. And then maybe the pairing that's most unexpected in all of this is the team pairing that's actually the highest in the NHL, Seattle's Adam Larsson and Vince Dunn, having a tremendous year for the Kraken. But tells you just how important the pairing of Noah Hanifin and Rasmus Anderson are. And as you would expect, that was a big point of emphasis during Noah's media availability at the Scotiabank Saddledome a little earlier today.
Noah, being back home, what do you guys, I know it was a tough one the other night, but hey, you guys kind of regroup for this one, and obviously another crucial one on the line.
Yeah, it's nice to be home. Obviously, it's been a few weeks, and looking to take advantage of this little home stretch here, and it's nice and refreshing just to get back and be on home ice again. So obviously a big few games for us coming up here, playing teams we played last week, so looking to get some points back.
How did you guys leave that one the other night? Because, I mean, obviously the result, not what you were looking for, but the way you played, probably generally pretty happy with how it went for most of that one, or how do you guys feel?
Yeah, I mean, I think, we played for 57 minutes or so. We played the way we wanted to play, and then obviously didn't get that complete game, which is something we've been trying to work on all year. So just looking just to, kind of play to our identity like we have been a little bit lately, and just build on that and have a good game tonight.
Bill, you just saw Detroit a little while ago. I'm sure it's still pretty fresh. What are the takeaways from that one that you kind of want to apply to?
Yeah, I mean, I think, they play that 1-1-3 structure where they try to slow the game a bit down the neutral zone, and they got some really good players up front, Larkin and Fabry. They got some speed, Sider on the back end. So they got some really good players. They got big D, physical D. So it's going to be a battle for us tonight for sure.
We know some of you guys were probably checking the standings around now to see where you're at. Do you find yourself watching some of those other games where a team like Edmonton or Minnesota might be in, just to see for yourself what they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think you want to know where you lie going into each game, and you want to see what the teams that you're competing against, how they're doing, obviously. But I think all we can really control is just how we perform and how we're playing, and that's something right now this time of year we're focused on.
Sounds like Graz is kind of game time decision tonight. What would it mean to your group to get him back?
Yeah, I mean, if we got him back, that'd be huge. Obviously he's one of our best players, and know, he plays a lot of minutes for us, and you know, he's had a great year. So it's something, you know, we've definitely missed, and it'll be great whenever he is back in the lineup. It'll be great to have him back.
What kind of a difference maker is he? You mentioned a couple of his skills and attributes, but what kind of a difference maker is he?
Yeah, he's, you know, he's real good offensively, but he also, you know, he's good at big times and big moments of the game, and you know, he's had a few of those you know, kind of game-changing plays throughout the year, and that's something you need on the team. And like I said, I think just with the minutes he plays, and he's so good at 200 feet, he's a smart player. He kind of brings that whole package, and he's just super valuable to our team.
What's he like in the room, generally?
Yeah, he's great. Great guy. He likes to chirp and start some trouble with some of the guys, which is fun. But I think, you know, he's a pretty laid-back guy, and that's kind of how he plays the game, too. He's real calm. He's poised, and that's how he is as a person as well.
What about with regards to integrating some of the newer faces? I know we've talked about that storyline so much, but what about his role in terms of getting those new guys acclimated?
In terms of
getting them more adjusted to how you guys do things here?
Like the new guys that are in?
Yeah, the new guys here.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's they've been great. I mean, I think they're obviously stepped in and contributed right away, and, you know, Peltz has been awesome, and Gilby's stepped in and, you know, played some big minutes, and, you know, he's a real physical guy, and it was nice to see him get that goal in Buffalo in his hometown the other night. So just great guys who listen and work really hard every day, and that's something you want to see when, you know, young guys come up.
So playing with are shuffled around in the back end, so playing in positions that you're not always used to, do you think that can make you stronger as a unit going forward?
Yeah, I think so for sure. I mean, you want to be, you know, versatile and be able to play with other guys. You never know what's going to happen down the line in terms of injuries. And I think we're all pretty confident and calm, you know, playing with each other. And that's something we've had to do, you know, losing Razzie. You guys have been mixed around a bit. So it's just part of the game, and I think we're all comfortable doing that in the back end.
So with Chris being more of a shutdown guy compared to Rasmus, are you finding yourself having to carry the puck more, or making more of an effort to do that with a stay-at-home guy versus a puck mover like Rasmus?
No, I mean, I think, you know, Tanny's, you know, he's just a great two-way player as well. I mean, I think you know, Razzie, obviously, he's a real good offensive player, you know, on the power play and can move the puck and stuff like that. But I think both guys are real easy players to play with. And you know, for me, I just try to play my game and just move my feet and skate and move the puck well. And that's all I can really do no matter who I'm playing with.
Speaking of the power play, I mean, that's a look you've been given quite a bit over the last little while. Getting pucks in the net, how do you think it's been going for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just that's my job, and I mean, obviously they mix up the units a little bit, and just trying to use my feet on the blue line and find those lanes, get some shots through, and that's something I think I can do a little bit more of, is just getting more shots on net. And you know, when we do that, you know, we have guys who go to the net and can find ways to score, so that's something I like to do, you know, as a defenseman.
There you go, Flames defenseman Noah Hanifin speaking to the media earlier today. Lots on Rasmus, if he's able to make his return to the lineup, how important he's going to be. His playing time with Chris Tanev, some of the different roles he's had to take on. Noah Hanifin quietly having a pretty good season, a good important season for the Calgary Flames as a steady force on that back end. And, you know, maybe the points not as high as you'd like. 24 points in 53 games, pretty good for Noah Hanifin, but 26 years old with 570 games under his belt. He's a pretty important part of that Flames blue line. As he talks about, you know, two other guys and their importance, he's coming off of, you know, that road trip where he was at 24 minutes a night in all of the games except for Ottawa, where he saw a team-high 26:59 of time on ice in the overtime loss to the Senators. Last person we'll hear from today from the Calgary Flames, Blake Coleman. His line has been on fire since being put together. That was the line of Coleman, Mangiapane, and Backlund. They're looking to recreate more of that in offensive terms tonight for the Calgary Flames and hopefully lead their team to a win. Here is Blake Coleman from Flames media availability earlier today.
Just about trying to string a little something together here at home. You come back off of that road trip. The takeaways from that that you want to apply here at home?
Well, I think you know, the last two games played good hockey. Just didn't play good in the right situations at the end, obviously, and you know, should have come home with two wins. And you know, again, it's another lesson that we can't be learning this time of year, but it's good to be back home. Obviously, it's been a handful of weeks with the break and then the road trip, so you know, it'll be nice to be in front of our own fans and use that energy in the building to get some momentum here and get the ball rolling.
Lee Duro was just talking about your line and the effectiveness of it as a trio, and he said when you're going, and I'm sure it's no surprise to you, you're around the net. How do you feel you've been able to do that and be effective around there?
Yeah, I think it's a big part of my game. I think, you know, it's gotten better of late, and I think, you know, our group, our trio is predicated on our forecheck, and that's where we get a lot of our offense. And typically when you're turning pucks over, you know, you're going to get looks, and you need guys in front of the goalie's eyes. And I've been starting to get there a little bit more, obviously, a couple ugly goals, things like that. So it's got to be part of my game, and, you know, the guys on my line play the same way. So for us to be successful, we got to get there.
What allows that? Is that just a mindset for you to be around there and making sort of a mental note, I've got to be there, or is that just something through structure that has to happen?
A little bit of both. I think you know, structurally, it's, you know, our system allows us to get there, and I think most of it is just that willingness to get there and pay the price. And, you know, you're going to take shots, you're going to take cross checks, whatever it is, and you got to be willing to do it. You know, it's the way I've been able to score lately, and I got to stick to it. And, you know, the games where I'm not getting there, it's a difference maker. So, you know, I think that's, as a team in general, I think our last game against Detroit, not enough, you know, high dangers in front of the goalie. I think he saw a lot of pucks, and goalies at this level, if you're not, you know, creating traffic or causing something in front of the net, they're going to save more pucks than that.
How often, like, how do your practices and pregame skates change as the urgency ramps up this season, if they do at all?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that they change as far as, you know, drills or things like that. I think, you know, there's got to be an excitement to this time of year. I think anytime you're getting down to the final 20-plus games, you know, you're starting to really take notice of where you are in the standings and how important every game is. And I think, you know, that should fuel the excitement on its own. And I think, you know, it's starting to get more and more that way. And I think being home obviously helps elevate that that excitement, that energy. And I think that's really the main difference in practice and pregames.
Like, you, I know the Ottawa game didn't go the way you wanted to finish, but the way you played against Buffalo, the way you played against the Senators overall, are there more positives you can take from those two games coming back home?
Yeah, it was good. I think, you know, you look at the Buffalo game, all the lines were contributing, and I think, you know, Ottawa, obviously, Dubes is getting rolling and Ty's playing well, and you know, they continue that, and the rest of us, you know, start to chip in here and keep going as well. And I think you got something to build off. I think you know, it's a sour taste the way that ended, and if you use it the right way, then that could be something good for us going forward.
There you go, Blake Coleman of the Calgary Flames. They are back in action. First of three straight home games for the team tonight. Starts off against the Detroit Red Wings, looking to come back after that loss to Detroit 2-1 last Thursday. Our Flames coverage gets going at 6 o'clock tonight. Pat Steinberg and Peter Labardius have your Flames warm-up. 7 o'clock, puck drop with Wills and Labardius right here in your home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. When we come back around the corner, more Calgary Flames talk, and we'll dive into an interesting trade target that had Flames Twitter abuzz this morning, and talk about if it's a realistic option for this team going forward. That's coming up next here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on the home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, final segment of the show today. Chatted Flames Red Wings with Peter Labardius a little bit earlier. Had our Thursday chat with Adnan Virk, MLB Network, NHL Network, and the Cinephile Podcast. Also, some Flames game day audio from Daryl Sutter, Noah Hanifin, and Blake Coleman. If you missed any of that, hour one is up wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Hour two will be up momentarily later on this afternoon. Google, Amazon, Spotify, your favorite podcatchers. You can catch any of our Sportsnet shows online at sportsnet.ca or wherever you get your favorite podcast. So, Flames Twitter was buzzing this morning, and this happens this time of year. Different insiders go on different podcasts and different shows and talk about buyers and sellers and who might be available, who's not available, what might happen over the next couple of weeks. And as is their job, they connect dots and try to find fits between teams and players. This Thursday's connection was one that we've heard before. Rumors around Calgary having interest in Josh Anderson of the Montreal Canadiens. Darren Dreger, TSN Insider, was on a program and didn't directly say that he thought a deal was going to happen, more so that there's been interest between Calgary and Josh Anderson in the past, going back to when Montreal acquired Josh Anderson from Columbus. Calgary, if you remember, was one of the teams very interested in Josh Anderson at that time, and it appears Calgary has maintained interest in the player since that time. The question eventually morphed into, what would it take to get Josh Anderson from Montreal if you were Calgary? And the reply was, well, I think you'd be looking at someone like Jacob Peltier plus plus. And that plus plus could mean a first round draft pick and other things. As you can imagine, many Flames fans, like, you know, even like myself when I heard that, went, whoa, stop. No, not a chance, not happening. That price is way too high. That's not of interest for the Calgary Flames, period. It's an interesting conversation. It's one that I thought we would sort of dive into a bit here. You can join the conversation if you're listening live, 960-960. This is not a, oh, he's wrong, inside. I don't have any inside connection. I don't have any one way or another of refuting or arguing or agreeing with the point. I just thought it was an interesting name, and I thought it was an interesting conversation that a lot of Flames fans were having this morning that I wanted to bring onto the show. So this isn't about proving anybody right or wrong. It's just discussing a topic and discussing a name that Flames brass has clearly been interested in for some period of time. There's no denying that. The Flames were hot and heavy after Josh Anderson when he was in Columbus. And I think, yeah, when you look at a team like Montreal, who is going to be selling off assets, is still in the middle of a rebuild, does Josh Anderson fit within what they're doing over the next couple of years? Josh Anderson, as of today, is 28 years old. He has 4 years remaining on his current deal at $5.5 million on the AAV. He has a modified no-trade clause. He is at 21 points in 52 games this year for Montreal, 15 goals, 6 assists. He has 62 penalty minutes. He's a right shot, 6'3", 227-pound forward. Now, I think a lot of what Josh Anderson can be is interesting on paper. I think that's obviously a guy that can put the puck in the net. He's a former 20-goal scorer in this league. His goal totals 17, 19, 27, 17, 19. So he's right around the 20-goal mark year after year. He obviously brings a high level of physicality. He's a gritty forward. Flashback to Calgary and Montreal from the Dome a couple months ago. It wound up being talked about the Jacob Markstrom, I just suck at hockey thing. But that quote came when I actually asked Jacob what happened in an incident with Josh Anderson. The two sort of bumped after a whistle. They kind of got in each other's face. Josh Anderson's known for that kind of stuff. A scrum ensued. Calgary wound up getting a penalty. You know the rest of the story from there. But that's just kind of what Josh Anderson is. And I can certainly understand, to a certain degree, why Josh Anderson would be intriguing. The right shot is certainly intriguing. He's a power forward. You can put the puck in the net at a pretty consistent rate. But, and that's not talking about the return at all. Do I think, even given where Calgary's at, cap-wise heading into next season, or where Josh Anderson is in comparison to his production and value against the cap, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I think that that's a player that's often injured. He's had trouble. He's only had one 82-game season under his belt. He's dealt with some pretty major injuries the last couple of seasons. His highest point total with Montreal since getting there is 32 points. His career high with Columbus comes back in 2018-19 when he put up 47 points. So if it were me making the decision, then it's obviously not. I don't think Josh Anderson is, frankly, anywhere close to the top of my want list for the Calgary Flames. And it could just be that. As we know, Brad Treliving is one of the most active general managers around the league when it comes to checking in on players, and it would make sense, as a guy that he's had interest in the past, as we've discussed, that he would check in with Montreal and say, hey, what would it be this time around if you were looking to move Josh Anderson? Now, to the other side of that, what the reported ask would be from Montreal, to me, is, I guess the word that comes to mind is ridiculous. Pie in the sky, whatever you want to call it. You can ask whatever you want if you're Montreal. It only matters what someone's willing to give you. But if you think that Josh Anderson is Pelche, first rounder, and somebody else off of my prospect list, I am hanging up the phone. I'm not calling you back. We're not having a second discussion. As our friend Primetime Klein, Peter Klein, pointed out on Twitter when I put this out there earlier, his remark was, I don't know that I would do one of those options for Josh Anderson, let alone both. Jacob Pelche is just getting his feet wet in the NHL. We do not know what this young man is as a full-time NHLer. And if he's just starting to flourish with my team right now in a top six role, I have no interest in moving him. Also, as we've talked about ad nauseum with the Calgary Flames, if I'm giving up my first round pick this year, it has to make sense for me going down the road into the future, because it's a deep draft. There's a chance for you to get a really good prospect, and given where you are this year, I don't know that it makes sense to give up your first round draft pick if you're the Calgary Flames. And now Montreal reportedly wants that and more. It's a pretty quick no conversation for me, but a lot of people had, you know, a lot to say about it, and I understand why it's been a topic. There's clearly a fascination there between Brad Treliving and the brass of the Calgary Flames and Josh Anderson. I'm not saying that it's a total dead stop no for Josh Anderson, but if that's the price, or that's close to the price, no thank you. Not a chance. That to me is what I'm giving up for Timo Meier. Like, that's got to be around the price point for a guy like Timo Meier, not Josh Anderson. Especially given the 4 years left at $5.5 million. That immediately means the Flames are taking somebody out of their core with money committed next year out to fit Anderson in. And as our pal Ryan Pike from Flames Nation pointed out, the math just doesn't work out well when you talk about it. Because then you're talking about, at least this year, okay, you probably have to take a contract back if you're Montreal. Same Milan Lucic. Well, then Montreal wants another asset in return for taking on money, and the price gets even higher. 960-960, some of your thoughts on this one. Some of these at 960. There's a couple there that I can't repeat because of radio rules. So that's as some of them are saying. Let's see if there's ones that I could I could read. This one says, who would he replace in the lineup? Where would you even see a guy like Anderson fitting? I would assume that spot would probably be in the top six with a Kadri and Huberto. That's kind of my thinking to that, is that's where he would go. Physical guy, go to the net, hopefully, you know, open up some space for a guy like Huberto. But again, at that price point, no thank you. That one says, F that, no thank you. This one says, I wouldn't even give up Pelche straight up for him, let alone a first. Not going to do this. This one says, don't need him, not at that price point, pass. This one says, Josh Anderson sounds like a Milan Lucic replacement. Do I think that Josh Anderson is a replacement level player? No, I mean, he's obviously at 28, sort of right in his prime right now, and I do think he can put the, I think he's pretty close to a 20 goal scorer year in, year out when he's healthy. But past that, he doesn't put up a lot of assists. His defensive metrics are a nightmare. And I know that that's coming from a team that's not good as a whole defensively this year, but they've never really been that good. So I don't know that I love that as a top six fit. That's what I would guess. That's where I would probably slot him, but again, I'm not breaking up Backlund, Mangiapane, and Coleman at this time. Dubé's worked really well with Toffoli and Lindholm. So even if it was any sort of forward addition, I think I would put him based in that spot where Pelche is. But again, I've liked Pelche where he is. So I'm not in a big rush to go out and make that move. As you know, Peter Labardius has pointed out plenty of times on this conversation, on Sportsnet today, you know, maybe a defensive addition makes more sense for this group right now. I'm not in a big hurry to move him out. Rod in Kelowna texts in, if I was the Flames manager, I'm not, but I'll play one on the radio, I'd be a seller. In my opinion, this team won't make the playoffs, nor do they deserve to be. Dump what you don't want, try to retool on the fly. This one from Mike. Josh Anderson is not what Calgary needs. I agree with you. We already have a broken, injury-prone Tanev. Do we really need another for the sake of a goal here and there? Let's all use our heads. Matt in Calgary says, make the moves now. New additions are in their prime years now. Let's be ready if our goaltending gets hot. Sutter LA playoff run is a dream worth a cup. This one says, late to this info, but for Josh Anderson, I'm talking second round, maybe a low-level prospect at best. Pelche, first-round pick, or any combination like that, absolutely no go for me. This one says, Lucic and a second for Anderson is all I would do. This one says, I don't even see Josh having a good place on this team. I don't think he's someone the Flames need. If we trade, we need someone with real speed and hands who can work with Huberto. Jim says, Flames not going anywhere. Do not give up any futures or any draft picks. That's not what this team needs right now. And Big Mike says, Logo, I like Anderson, or I like what he could slash should be, but at this point, he is what he is. I don't think I would do Pelche straight up for Anderson, let alone a roster player plus a first or a prospect. I would like to be directed to a place where I can buy whatever the Canadiens are smoking. Yeah. Like I said on Twitter, and this is always a factor at this time of the year, you can ask for whatever you want. You absolutely can. If you're Montreal and people are calling you on them, sure, you can ask for Connor McDavid. Am I giving that to you? No. You can ask for my top prospect that's just making his way into the NHL. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it. So if Kent Hughes and the Montreal Brass want to shoot for the sky and hope that they come down with something of significant value, then sure, go for it. I'm not going to tell you that you can't ask for it, but do I think, and this isn't even a Flames take, do I think anybody in the league is that on Josh Anderson that they're going to give up a prospect similar to Jacob Pelche and a first? I don't see a team that would do that. Not when Timo Meier's right there. Am I missing something? Like, I just, like, to me, that is a package you give up for Timo Meier, not for Josh Anderson. 42 points. What did I say? 47? Someone remind me. Cam Taylor, what did I say? 47 points was his high?
Believe so. Let me check.
I had it right here, and of course it's gone. 47. 47. And that was like 6 years ago with Columbus. Do I think Jacob Pelche could become a guy that scores 50 points in the NHL? Yeah, I could be convinced of that. Is it this year? Maybe not, but do I think in a couple years' time that that's crazy to think? Nope, I really don't. By the way, Timo Meier, 76 points last year. 66 points in 2018-19. And he's probably going to break all of that this year. He's already at 31 goals. He's got 52 points. I don't see it. Again, could I be wrong? Sure. I'm wrong all the time, Cam.
It's brave of you to admit that on air.
It's really not. If you listen, you know I'm wrong all the time. It's not anything new. But that was the buzz around Flames fans today. And it just, to me, it doesn't make sense. The money doesn't make sense. I think Josh Anderson is, like I said, do I think he's, like, ideally, do I think Josh Anderson's maybe a good third line fit somewhere? Probably. I think you're probably asking a bit much for him to be a top six guy. And like I said, outside of the goal scoring, the defensive metrics are not great. So if that's the kind of return that Montreal's asking from Calgary or anybody else, good on you. A couple more texts here at 960-960. This one says, on Josh Anderson, that's a no from me, dog. Fair. This one says, yeah, well said. A Timo Meier package, I can see that. Josh Anderson, no thank you. Matt in Calgary says, I'm standing pat. All these expiring contracts next year, it should give Brad or whoever's in charge the ammunition they need to retool. And this one says, all that for Josh Anderson, you're talking highway robbery. No, thank you. So I think most people are on the same wavelength as me that there's probably value there. Is it value? Like, there's a couple people that have said, look, I would make a deal for Josh Anderson, but it would be at a much lower price point than the one that's being discussed right now. And that's, I think that's a fair thing. I think that there's still going to be talk about whether this team should add or not as we get closer in the next couple weeks. But what that price point is, I mean, if it's, like I said, if you're talking Pelche, you're talking first, you're talking any of that sort of stuff, I'm going to be damn sure it's an asset that is going to improve me greatly and is going to be a part of my team going forward in the future. And I just don't see that with Josh Anderson. Again, as Cam likes to point out, I'm wrong a lot.
Not that often.
Yeah, often enough. So we'll see. That's going to do it for the program today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for texting in at 960-960. Always appreciate the feedback on the fan feedback line. Thank you to Pete Labardius and Adnan Virk. They joined us in hour one today. That podcast is up wherever you get your podcasts, Google, Amazon, Spotify, your favorite podcatcher. Hour two, all things Calgary Flames. Flames audio on a game day, Sutter, Coleman, Hannifin, and the trade target of the day, if you will. We just finished up our discussion on Josh Anderson as a potential fit for the Calgary Flames. Thank you to our outstanding production team of Cam and Taylor. That does it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow. Break things down between the Flames and the Red Wings right here on your home of the Flames. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.